a million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Silence descends. 89 minutes gone. This kick is everything. Bring the stadium experience into your living room and immerse yourself in the action with a 55-inch LG OLED TV from John Lewis. LG's OLED technology with ultra-wide viewing angle means everyone can enjoy the best seat in the house. With a 5-year guarantee on all TVs, shop today at John Lewis, in-store, online, or via the app.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Glove. Thanks for joining us here. It's a beautiful day in Michigan, Tim. How's it going in North Carolina?
It's a beautiful day here, too. Probably a little warmer, though.
It's 50 here. It's sunny. November 2nd. I can't complain. The snow's not flying. It's very, very nice. It was so nice this morning. I do a little holy hour at my church every Wednesday morning. I was driving in. Gorgeous, just wearing a sweatshirt. Usually I'm bundled up this time of year. Coming around the last turn to hit the church, what do I see in the middle of the road? Three bears, Tim. Can you believe that? Three black bears, a mom and two babies just kind of hanging out in the middle of the road. I startle them. The babies go running for a nearby tree, just right up, crazy fast. Kind of one of the neatest things I've seen in a long time. Mama bear just kind of saunters over and just stands guard at the bottom of the tree. And I watched them for a little bit. And then I say, let's move on. It was kind of cool. Saw three. You're not going to see that in North Carolina. That's a Northern Michigan type sighting. We'll get that everywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've never seen bears in the wild. I've always wanted to. So
I don't know if they're wild. I can't say if they're wild.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Someone could have owned them. They got loose. I don't know. But no, it was neat seeing them. It was kind of cool. I've heard about them. I've seen them. I saw a bear a few years back, just, you know, 200, 300 yards away. This was up close. I could have hit them with my car if I didn't stop, first of all. But then I could have got out of my car and probably chased after them and grabbed one of the babies. Hindsight, I probably should have done that. Grabbed one of the babies. That would have been fun. Kids would have loved it.
Well, you would have taken someone's pet away, though, apparently.
It could have been my pet.
Speaking of being hit by cars, I don't know what it is, but driving again? Down here, not me, but I was walking the dog downtown last night, and this is a pet peeve of mine. When people stop at a red light or a stop sign in the crosswalk, you know what I mean? Like, stop before the crosswalk, especially in a busy, bustling metropolis like that.
Well, Tim,
like,
there's a lot of factors that goes into that. There's a lot of circumstances.
Don't defend bad driving.
Sometimes you're trying to make that light, and then at the last minute, you go, I can't make it, and you got to slam on the brakes.
This was a red light. It was not even close. And this girl on a scooter is like stepping into the crosswalk, and this car just pulls forward very slowly and just bumps her, and the girl just falls over.
No way.
And I see it happening like across the intersection, and she like yelled something, then she just scooted away. I think she was embarrassed that she got hit by a car. If it was me, it would have been a different story, but.
And you got triggered, right?
Oh, yes. I don't know. What is it down here about these drivers?
I don't know if it's the drivers. I think it's the people. Get out of the way.
I don't know if this is true, but when I visited Charlotte years ago, the Uber driver told me that it was like the number one county or city in the entire country for car accidents, like per capita or something. And I was like, and then so far, I confirmation bias, but it seems pretty true.
I don't think I've ever in my life. No, I should say once I saw someone get hit on their bike really bad one time. But other than that one time, I've never seen someone get hit by a car. And you've seen it twice, happening to you once in the last 2 months.
2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks.
Crazy.
That's not normal. It's not normal for a car to hit somebody. Oh, man. When I was in high school, I thought the guy died. He was riding a 10-speed. The biker's fault in the middle of the night, riding right. And he was in like the middle lane and a car just blew him up. Bike went flying. He went flying. I don't know how he survived, but not smart. If you're on a bike, especially at night, get off the road. What are you doing? If you're in North Carolina, just stay on the sidewalk. What do you need to cross the street for?
If you're in North Carolina, just leave. Just get out of there.
Just get a car. What's the matter with you guys? It's not a good idea to just be a pedestrian anywhere in North Carolina because you're going to get ran over or hit by an aggressive scooter guy. That's what you got, right?
Yeah, it's been a tough. Oh man, yes.
I think they just smell your weakness and they just exploit it.
I have nothing to say to that.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some hockey news. One of my former teams, Tim, having a slow start to the season, rightfully so. You know, they were a good team, the San Jose Sharks. They've had some glimmers of hope this season, but all in all, it's been a slow start for them. They're in the bottom of the Western Conference. They're scuttling along at 3-8-1. The only team worse than them right now is the Vancouver Canucks, because the Canucks are just an absolute, everybody knows about the Canucks, but there is a little sign of life with the San Jose Sharks. Erik Karlsson brought in, what was he brought in 4 years ago, Tim? Now
something like that. Yeah.
The Sharks gave up quite a haul to get him. He was the last piece for their playoff run. He was the guy who was going to deliver a Stanley Cup. Didn't work. Never worked. We had Chris Pronger on the show a few months back. I asked him straight up, why is Burns Karlsson not working? Why is this little experiment just going bad? And he said, they're selfish players, very similar type players. It's not going to work. Then he went into just tell about how he and Niedermeyer worked so well. They were different type players. They complemented each other. Karlsson and Burns on the ice together is like two cooks in the kitchen. Doesn't work. You can't have two guys trying to control everything. You need one guy to control, one guy to supplement him and be a sous chef. Give him whatever he needs to succeed. You can't have two guys trying to do the same thing always at the same time. We end up bumping heads. It never works. Lo and behold, Burnsy leaves, gets traded, goes to the Carolina Hurricanes this offseason. Erik Karlsson all of a sudden is playing a lot better, Tim. Got a hat trick last game. I had no idea. I thought he would have gotten 10, 15 hat tricks at this point in his career in Ottawa. He was a forward, pretty much. This was his first career hat trick. Were you amazed when you heard that this guy's never scored 3 goals before?
I was going to say the same thing. He's had seasons where he's had 80 plus points, 60s, 70s, like all those years. And he was a goal scorer. He was not looking at it now, 19 goals, 20 goals, 21 goals, 16, 17. So yeah, it's crazy that he's never had one before.
And now fast forward to his fourth year in San Jose, he's got 15 points in 12 games. He's got 9 goals, 6 assists. He's sixth in points, not just in defensemen. Total in the NHL, second in goals. The guy is playing fantastic. He's healthy. He's got some energy. But is the most important thing, the reason he's having success, is because Burnsy's not there? And he finally feels like he has control of this defense where he doesn't have to worry about, if I don't produce in the power play, Burnsy's going to take my spot. Am I the first D-man? Am I out? Like, is that competition gone and he can kind of just relax and play his game? What's the biggest reason why he's having all the success, Tim?
Well, that's probably it. I mean, even for a player of his caliber, to have just that question mark, like you said, like if I mess up, am I in PP2 or am I losing minutes? Or am I not getting top pairing and all that stuff? And there's a little bit of ego with a player of that caliber too. And I don't think it's a bad thing, but when you're that good and you carry the team on your back, like you did a certain way for the Senators for years, there's the expectation and there's the sense of pride that comes with being that sort of player. And when you're not that sort of a player, you almost lose a little bit of your identity, maybe. So I think that's certainly part of it, but I don't want to underrate the health aspect of it too, where we talked a little bit about it in the offseason. You know, he's just had a few health issues over the years and maybe hasn't felt quite like himself. And you know, all the buzz this summer was how good he looked, how good he felt, and clearly it's working because, like you said, he's putting up more points than anybody right now.
No, he's playing great. He's playing confident. He's skating with a lot of just drive. He's the guy that I remember watching and playing against when I was growing up. So good for Erik Karlsson. My prediction, Tim. He was one of my predictions at the beginning of the year. A lot of people laughed at me. I got the same type of thing from the Ovechkin prediction I did a few years back when I said Ovi wasn't going to score 30. I said Erik Karlsson is going to get 50 points this year. People scoffed. They laughed. They said, John, this guy's 32 years old. He's been injured every single year for the last 4 years. He hasn't topped 50 points since 2017 and 18 when he was with the Ottawa Senators. John, what are you doing, you idiot? What's the matter with you? Give your head a shake. You've been hit in the head too many times. You're a goon. You don't know anything about hockey. What's the matter with you, dummy? What's happening now? Oh, my goodness. He's got 9-6, 15 points in 12 games. He's looking like a different man. My prediction was he was only going to get 50 points, Tim. That's it. Does he get 50? What do you think?
Feels low now, doesn't it?
Feels low. He might get 100. He might get 100 for Pete's sake. The way he's flying right now. He's on track. That's all I want. Just give him a chance. Now, this begs a bigger question. He's playing well. There's teams, when you look around the league, defense is at a premium. All of a sudden, does Erik Karlsson become a trade asset where teams are knocking on the Sharks' door saying, hey, is this guy available? Where this time last year, you couldn't give this guy away. There's no way a team was going to take on Erik Karlsson at 32 years old when he's got 5 years left on an $11.5 million contract. That would be absurd. Does this change things with Erik Karlsson when the trade deadline rolls around and teams are in need of a high-end defenseman when he's got... Fast forward to the deadline. Erik Karlsson has 60 points. He's in the conversation for a Norris Trophy. And you're a Stanley Cup contender, and you would love to have that guy on your decor. Give up a first-rounder. Maybe the Sharks eat some of that money for the next few years. Do you see a deal being made for Erik Karlsson, Tim?
I think it certainly has to be part of the conversation when you're putting up that kind of numbers, and the Sharks would love to get rid of that contract, even if it means eating some of it. And, you know, 11 and a half is tough, but if you're bringing in, you know, say they eat 50%, you're bringing in an elite top 10 defenseman for $6 million and you got the cap room to make it do it. That's a big addition to your roster. The term is what worries me, though. Who's going to want to take on four more years after this season when he's 36, 37 years old? And I don't know. Does a player of that type of speed and that type of frame, does a player like that age well? If your game is speed and skill and then you start getting slower, how does that translate when you're 35 years old?
Well, yeah, you're not as fast. So if your game is elusive and, you know, avoiding checks and getting up in the rush and being that fourth option for the forwards to hit, you're not as effective. So, yeah, he will slow down. He has slowed down, but maybe missing those games the last 3 or 4 years has helped his longevity a little bit. He's definitely not been playing playoff hockey. So he hasn't been logging any of those hard minutes you see in the playoffs where you're playing through injuries. You're really racking up the legs, and longevity is just going out the window because you're playing when you shouldn't be playing. So I don't see him being moved. I think the contract is too much. $11.5 million for a guy who's 32 years old. It's too much. Unless the Sharks eat a hefty portion of his salary, that's the only way I see him being moved. I don't think a team would give up a first rounder for Karlsson. I don't think a team gives up a second rounder. There's just too much term there.
That's a good point. Okay, so maybe this is a stupid question, but so you got two defensemen, both 30 years old. They both played every game over the last three seasons, but one of them has played 20 playoff games, the other has played zero. Is that a pretty big difference in terms of wear and tear and just the mileage on your body and your longevity? Or is it not? Does it depend on the situation?
Oh, no, absolutely. And you see defensemen along the way. Like a prime example would be a Brent Seabrook, a guy who played through injuries year after year with the Hawks, and he should – if he's on a bad team, Brent Seabrook is still playing hockey. But because he was with the Hawks, he went to three cups, got three rings, playing countless overtime games, game sixes, game sevens, like just putting his body through the ringer in the playoffs. Other guys don't have to do that. You know, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. I think of a Ryan McDonough now. How old's McDonough? He can't 34. Be over 33, 34, but hockey years, it seems like he's 40. And it's just the playoffs does, it wears you out. You're just every other night doing anything you can to win the game, playing with injuries, playing through just anything. These guys are absolute just warriors. So, yeah, it does play a factor into it. But then, you know, on the other side of the page, people love winners. So you can't put a price tag on what it means to be on a winning team, to have that, the intangibles. I don't know what it is, but the guy's a winner. I got to have that on my team. So you get the good and bad that go along with it.
He's 33, Ryan McDonough, and I just had a weird moment because I realized it's only a year older than me now. And man, am I getting old. Whew. He's born in 89.
And how young is Ryan McDonough? He's 33, but it feels like he's been playing forever. He's played how many playoff games? You probably have it right there, because with the Rangers, he was one of their key parts on the back end. Then he goes from them to Tampa Bay, who's just been making runs the last 3 years. Now he's on Nashville. I don't know if he'll make the playoffs this year, but we had him on the show. He said he's made the playoffs every single year of his career, right? He's got to be top five of current players' playoff games played.
Yeah, and he is. I think he's going to be the number one when he retires if he keeps going. And he's 33, retiring in the next 2 years, 3 years with 60 sheets in the bank. Not bad.
How many playoff games has he played? Do you have it right there?
No.
Come on, Tim. Pull up his playoff games because I want to know. I bet you it's added an extra season and a half on his life. 82 games in a season. The guy's been in the playoffs for the last 10, 15 years. I guarantee you he has over 82, probably over 162 games played in the playoffs just because he's been there every single year ever since he's entered the league. But while Tim looks that up.
185
games. That's insane.
We talked about this when we interviewed him.
What do you think my memory is that good? I can just pull from an interview we did.
No. But I'm saying he's going to end up with the record. I think.
I think you're right. I think the record is like Coffee or something. Has the ref? It's another defenseman, if I remember correctly. But anyways, yeah, that's an extra 2.5 years, and that's not even taking into account how hard playoff games are and how often you're playing with injuries, and that's after an 82 game schedule. So your body's already worn out and tired and wants a break. And then you tack on an extra 30 games. Then your recovery time is short and you just turn around right back into another season. It wears on you. I don't think GMs think about that stuff, but they should, because that's a lot of hockey we played. All right. Bruins again last night, Tim. My word. They are honestly a very enjoyable team to watch. Frustrating at times. They should be. They have no business winning last night's game. None whatsoever. The Penguins looked like they were rolling. You probably watched the whole game. Give us a synopsis, a brief one. We're not a Boston Bruins podcast.
I did. Opening shift, Sidney Crosby scores on his first shift. And it's like, I mean, it was in Penguin. It was in Pittsburgh. So, like, they were rolling. But just you could see the air just sucked out of the Bruins team right away. And the broadcasters even talked about that. Montgomery said that yesterday morning's, like, morning skate was the worst of the entire year. And so they look shaky from the whole day, and then they get scored on right away, and you think, okay, this isn't going to be our game. Back and forth hockey, some goals get added. All of a sudden, it's 5-2. Allmark let up a couple of softies in a row. He gets pulled early in the third, and Swayman comes in. And so Bruins score. It got called back for goalie interference, and rightfully so. Bergeron did kind of collide with Jarry there. And so it's still 5-2. A lot of emotions running high. Then Swayman gets hurt with a collision with Bergeron. He's down. Allmark's coming back in the game. And now he's let up all 5 goals. Swayman didn't let in any in his like 10 or 15 minutes of play. And then the Bruins come back. And then they come back again. And then they come back. With 1:10 left in the third, Taylor Hall ties it up. And it's going to overtime. And they came back from a 5-2 deficit. Crazy overtime. A lot of breakaways. Malkin got stuffed in the breakaway. We had, I think, Nosek hit the post on a 2-on-1. Huge saves from Allmark. And then Hampus Lindholm was the story of the game. If this couldn't get any better. He goes end-to-end rush with a defenseman tailing him. Like, beautiful, beautiful rush. And he goes in and he snipes it on glove high. Surprise, surprise, on Tristan Jarry. He ends the night with 4 points, goal and 3 assists. And it was a total like eye-opening game for me in terms of how good Hampus Lindholm can be. To talk about him being a legit number one defenseman in this league, the passing, the skating, the vision, that shot was super elusive. It wasn't that heavy, but he kind of played it well. I think he's very, very good. And the Bruins are now 9-1, and they had no business winning that game. They kept chipping away at that lead. scoring in the power play. Marchand scored yet again, and life was good. It was a great, great game.
So does this justify then the trade from the Anaheim Ducks where they gave up, what was it, a first rounder, John Moore, a prospect, and a couple second round draft picks? Does this justify that trade fully?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're still without arguably their best player, Charlie McAvoy. So this is going to be something special to watch. I'm about to put all my BetUS money on them winning the cup and just wait and talk about it till June.
Well, it's funny how the start of the season has worked out where the Bruins, they didn't have high expectations. And I don't want to always compare them. Well, I'll do it to the Oilers where there are games in the season and they're pivotal games where when you look back after the season, you go, man, that was a big game. This will be a big game for the Bruins. You're down 5-2. You have no business winning this game whatsoever. Your goalie is coming back in net who gave up the first 5 goals. He's not feeling good. And then you get 5-3, 5-4, 5-5. These are the games when it comes to January, February, March that you pull from. When you play these Penguins again, when you go into Carolina, when you play the higher-end teams and you're down a couple goals, you have these experiences where you've already come back. You've already done this. So it's nothing new. And you have that muscle memory. It's like, we can win. I've been on teams that are really bad. And when you go into a tight situation, whether it's the third period, you're tied, you're down a goal going into the last couple of minutes, and you don't have that confidence because you haven't done it before. In contrast, I've been on teams that have been really good. The Rangers, we went to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Blackhawks, when we were rolling, we were really good. I've been on good teams where you get down a goal, you get down 2 goals, and you're like, you know what, we're fine. You go into the locker room after the first period, you're down by 2, 3. No one's panicking. We're good. We can come back. We've done it before. And then lo and behold, you get 1, you get 2, you get 3, because you don't get those bad feelings. The Bruins have good feelings, and this will benefit them in 2 months and 3 months when the games really start to count. I can't say the same for the Oilers. I can't say the same for the Leafs. Those teams, when it comes down to brass tacks, when you really got to win, and you go into the third period and you're down a goal, you're going, oh, man, we're done. We haven't done this before. We've been garbage in these situations all season long. So these are the types of games that good teams, when it comes to the end of the year in March and April, they can pull from these scenarios and say, oh, we came back from Pittsburgh. We were down by 3. We came back and we won in overtime. It's no problem. We got this, fellas. We know how to do this. So this might be a throwaway game. It's game number 10, whatever. We could have easily packed in the bags and been 8-2, still first place in the Eastern Conference. No, we buckled down. We won this game. Now we're 9-1. And our confidence is insane right now. Our heads are swelling. As a hockey player, that's what you want to think when you go into the next game. Because you're not going to be winning every single period. There's going to be bad times when you're down by 2 or 3 or 4 and nothing's going your way. To be able to pull from this experience for the Bruins, it's huge. It's absolutely monumental. And like I said, on the other side of the page, if you're the Penguins, the next time you play a team like the Bruins or you're playing Florida, you're playing Tampa Bay, and you go into the third period, you're up 4-1, 3-1. You go, gosh, you give up that first one. You go, here we go again. That's what they're going to think. Here we go again. We just lost to the Bruins. We gave up a huge lead in the third period. It's going to happen again. That's what's going to happen in Tristan Jarry's head. Not again. Why? Instead of saying, oh, you know, we're fine. We'll figure this out. So I don't know. I think of those sorts of things. It's a big deal. It really is. These are two teams that are going to be battling for a playoff position down to the wire near the end of the season. And they will pull from these. I know they've been in the league for 10, 15 years, but every year is new. I remember walking into Johnny Taves one time in Chicago. We went for the conference, Tim, or the convention, excuse me. You were there. I ran into Johnny and I'm like, so what do you think of the year? How's it going to go? He's like, and you could tell he was already just not looking forward to it based on last year, based on the year before. Things build. And he was just going into a season where they hadn't even dropped the puck. So it's those experiences where your expectations, I guess. So now maybe the Penguins, the next time they're up by a couple of goals, they're going to expect to lose if they give up one. Whereas a good team, like, we can be down. Doesn't matter. That's why the Oilers go down by 3-4 goals. They're never out of it because they know they can come back and score 5 and win the game. So, no. But good for Hampus Lindholm. Good for the Bruins. They're good. They're getting better by the day, Tim. You must be just ecstatic.
It's a lot of fun. One concern is Swayman, obviously. He goes down, he gets hurt. We don't know. He couldn't put any pressure on, I think, his right leg. And so the Bruins have the day off today. They're not scheduled to speak until tomorrow at the earliest. We'll have to wait for an update. But that would not be good because Keith Kincaid got called up from Providence. He's not a bad backup to have, but hopefully Swayman doesn't miss too much time.
Tuukka.
He's playing tennis right now.
Tuukka and Zdeno. That's what they need. Timmy,
Chuck Kobesu and Andrew Ferentz.
Oh,
that's all we need.
Man, you would just be living life. All right. When I'm in Boston, you know what I love to eat?
What?
Clam chowder.
Chowder. Lobster.
You know where I can't eat lobster, Tim. I'm allergic to shellfish. But clam chowder I can eat because they're crustaceans. Most people think it's all grouped in, but no. I'm allergic to shrimp, crab, lobster, which are crustate, right? Oh, no, clams are mollusks, so I can eat mollusks. I can't eat crustaceans, just for everybody out there. Clarification. So when I'm in Boston, I use DoorDash, and I get clam chowder from anywhere, really, because it's always good. And I'm in my hotel room, and I don't want to leave because every time I leave Boston, I get spit on by the fans because they hate me there. Because one time I hit Louis Erickson when he had his head down. Everybody thought it was dirty. So random. So when I'm there, I use DoorDash. And I use my promo code GlovesDDUS, and I get 25% off. I get free delivery. I get my clam chowder with my little oyster crackers. They bring me a spoon. It's delicious. And I don't have to leave my room because DoorDash brings it right up to my hotel. And they're so fast. The clam chowder is still steaming. I can smell it when they hit the elevator. That's how good fresh it is. And I use DoorDash. You should use it too. Use our promo code GlovesDDUS. Get 25% off. You get free delivery. It's fantastic. If you're in Canada, you can use my promo code too. It's just GlovesDD. It's a good deal, everybody. I say it every stinking show. It's because it's the best deal on earth. I don't know any other show, any other promotion that has as good of a deal as we do here on Dropping the Gloves. So check it out. Take advantage of it. DoorDash is a good company. Get yourself some chowder in Boston. I do love Boston. People there hate me. Absolutely hate. And I'm not even over exaggerating. They actively don't like me there in Boston, where I'll walk down the street. Maybe not anymore. It's been a few years since I've been to Boston, but in the league, when I was playing, vitriol walking down the streets, North End. I'd go out, grab some pasta, grab dinner. They hate me.
Was that the city that you got recognized the most besides cities that you played for?
Well, the Canadian cities, you go anywhere, you get recognized. But in the States, yes. And it was always a bad way. We used to go to this. They had a good pastry shop there. It's one of the famous ones.
Mike's Pastries. Mike's
the guy
and Modern,
likes,
yeah.
He loves hockey. And so we would go there, and I would go there because I would always pick up my wife some pastries, some cannolis, and take them home, get some bonus points. He'd have you in the back. He'd pull out the grappa. He'd pull out the booze. I'd sit back there and have – it was great. Hours, Tim. Mike's Pastries. Who would have known? Back of a pastry shop. You go up, have a couple more, eat some cannolis. It was a great time. So go to Mike's Pastries if you're in Boston. It's a good little spot. It's a big spot. Lineup is always around the block.
Yep. Did you have to wait in line?
What do you think? Come on, Tim. You think I'm waiting in line when I?
Well, like, okay, but do you have someone bringing you there, or do you just like you just know that you can just walk right in and skip the line, no matter even if you're by yourself?
Well, you get introduced when you're young in the league. So my first few years, I probably went there with a veteran. You build a relationship. You go back. I played in the East Coast a long time. I played for the Sabres. I played for other teams. So we'd go to Boston quite a bit. And you build those relationships. And I got to know him. I got to know his family worked there. And you'd show up, kind of cut the line. Hey, guys. And I got, come on back, Johnny.
Do you think Mike listens to the podcast? So when I go home in a few weeks, he'll pour me some grappa in the back room?
Yeah, he probably listens. I don't think you're going to get anything. Have you gotten anything from the show? Any swag? Anybody recognize you in the airports and stuff?
At the Detroit a couple of years ago, one of the listeners bought us both beer. So that happened.
Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't treat me any different, but...
Did you claim that on your taxes?
No.
That's technically income. All right. Let's do some league roundup. There were some games last night. There's some teams that are turning the corner. after a slow start, they righted the ship. Minnesota Wild, second straight, four of their last five, starting to get the feel goodies in the locker room in Minnesota. Kaprizov's continuing to score. Marc-Andre Fleury's playing a lot better. Man, the last 2 years he's done this. Where the first three, four games, he's just played awful. Bad goals. Goals against average is horrendous. Save percentage is just atrocious. All of a sudden, he just finds his game, and he's back to being the flower of old, where he's this best goalie of all time. Are the Wild legit now? Do you believe in this group, Tim?
Well, what do you mean by believe? Because we knew they were better than this. They started off tough. They have that cap hit with the dead cap space, and they lost some players, and all of a sudden we think that they are just not a very good team anymore. And you've been critical of them to start the season, but we knew they weren't that bad. And so I think what we'll see from them in the end is what we've seen the last couple of years. They'll get a playoff spot. They'll win a couple of games. They'll probably lose in the first round, maybe the second round. And that's who they are as a team. So none of this surprises me. I think this is par for the course for them. I'm glad they're getting back on track. Kaprizov and Zuccarello, the chemistry is still there. They got a combined 25 points right now. So the big thing, the knock on them is, I mean, I don't know how much you want to read into plus minus, but they're minus 12 combined. And so that's a problem. And a lot of power play points there. But yeah, I think that this team that we've seen the last week or two has been pretty much who the Wild are. So it doesn't surprise me.
10 games in, what would you rather have? Your special teams clicking or your 5-on-5 going? What would you rather have as a coach?
5-on-5.
I'm the opposite. That's funny. I would rather have my special teams clicking and good. Just, you can always fix 5-on-5. It's hard to fix your power play penalty kill.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. Well, I don't know. I just think about, like,
no, I might be wrong.
You play most of the game 5-on-5. You got to get that right. And then you work on the supplemental stuff. And then I feel like also power, it's easier to sustain stronger 5-on-5 play than it is to sustain special teams. So I'd rather not worry about that yet and rather get that tooled as the season goes on than the other way around.
Agreed. You know what? You've changed my mind, I think. I think it's better to have a 5-on-5. I agree.
Here's football legend Jamie Redknapp for Skechers ArchFit Footwear.
Okay, I know what you're thinking. ArchFit Footwear? Ah, I don't need arch support. Well, I thought the same, and these are still my favorite trainers. You see, Skechers ArchFit are great for virtually everybody. ArchFit was designed by experts, giving you podiatrist-certified arch support and all-day comfort. Plus, I don't wear them just for arch support. I love how they look too. Feel what you've been missing with Skechers ArchFit.
Find Skechers ArchFit Footwear for men and women everywhere.
A million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
All right, another team, Tim. Turn the corner, 1-3 straight, New York Rangers. That highly contested Atlantic, Metropolitan Division, Atlantic Division, Eastern Conference, they're back in second place. Behind the New Jersey Devils, they've won three in a row. They've finally got their game together. More importantly, MVP, Igor Shesterkin, Tim. 6-0. The top guys are playing well. Well, Panarin, Zibanejad, they've combined for 29 points. If they continue to get output from these guys, are they the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Well, the Bruins, John. The Boston Bruins.
I know.
I don't know. Well, here's the part that kind of concerns me is, like, I mean, Panarin and Zibanejad are doing what they're doing. Shesterkin is the best goalie in the league, probably. 6-0. If he's not one, he's number two. And so those guys, none of this is surprising. The stuff that we said at the beginning of the year was that for them to be like a serious contender, they need that supplemental scoring and they need the young kids to step up. And they've been just okay. Lafreniere's got 2 goals, 3 assists. That's not good enough in 11 games. Hapo Kakko's got 2 goals, 1 assist. It's not good enough. And so I don't know how heavily they can rely on those top guys in a long playoff run or over the course of a long season. And what if, God forbid, someone goes down from an injury, do you trust Kaapo Kakko on the top line to fill in those spots? Probably not. So I think they need to add, they need more from the young kids.
Yeah, I agree. And the longer this season goes, the longer their career goes. This is their fourth year. Like this.
Yeah.
It's just not there. Maybe they're not those guys. And when you look at what they've done so far, yes, they have a good record. Yes, they've won three in a row. They're feast or famine as far as goals go. They're either two goals or under, or they score seven. They get seven against the Wild, then they go one, six versus Anaheim, then they go two, then they go one, then they go two, then they go zero, then they go six versus the Stars, but then back down to 2-1. They need to figure it out. They need to get some consistency. You can't have games where you rip seven in, then you go three games where you only average two. You need to have some kind of consistency where you know your first line's getting one goal a game, your second line's getting one goal every other game, your third line's going to chip in a goal every third game, and your fourth line gets a goal every fourth game. That's what you're looking for. It's not happening. Right now, it's just the first line scoring two goals a game, nothing else for the next three lines. They have to get some depth, like you mentioned. They have to figure things out. They're too good of a team for them not to figure things out. I like the Rangers. They're my preseason, one of my horses. I'm not worried about them, but there is some cracks there. Lafreniere, Kako, you nailed it. Are they going to be in it at the end, Tim? Will they be a Final Four team in the Eastern Conference right now based on the first month of the season?
I think probably, yeah, because of Shesterkin, because of their Stars, their defense is still pretty good. But there's plenty of reason to be nervous and critical about them. Are they better than the Bruins? Are they better than Carolina? Are they better than, I mean, I think they're better than the Devils and the Sabres and these teams that I think are overperforming. But even if it was like, say it's Rangers number two versus seven Tampa Bay, you're probably taking Tampa Bay in that series, right?
Man, I don't know. That's a tough one. And I think, man, they have Vasilevsky has not been playing well this year, by the way. He's been struggling. So I think right now I'm taking Shesterkin. There's been some good goaltender starts. Linus Olmark has got a better start right now than Shesterkin. Ottinger's been playing well. Hart's been playing well. I don't know. I'm taking the Rangers. I really do like their team. I like their back end better than the Tampa Bay's back end. I like Miller. I like Fox. I like Ryan Lindgren. I like their back end better than Tampa's. I think losing McDonough, it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them a lot. All right, another team that still hasn't figured it out. We talked about power play. What's more important? 5-on-5 power play. Well, the Columbus Blue Jackets are trying to prove Tim right because they're saying, we don't care about our power play. We just want to play 5-on-5. In fact, we will make it so hard on our power play. We'll have a negative. We're -2 on the power play this season, meaning they've been on the power play for 25 opportunities. They haven't scored one power play goal, Tim. This has to be a new record in the NHL. To start a season, length of time, not scoring a power play goal. The Columbus Blue Jackets have played, 10 games now? Not one power play goal. In fact, they've given up two shorthanded goals. This is insane. You bring in Johnny Gaudreau to quarterback your power play. He is the guy. He is the facilitator. You have Patrick Laine, one of the best sharpshooters, snipers in the league. You put him in a spot, you give him five shots, he's going to score two of them. Apparently not. The Columbus Blue Jackets are struggling. Can you make anything of this? Do you think one would bounce in off someone's shin and hit the back of the net? It's insane.
Well, that's going to happen, of course. It's not going to stay forever, but this is brutal. I can't remember anything like this. I saw a great comment about it. It's like, imagine, so they've had 25 power play opportunities for a total of 53 minutes, and they haven't scored any goals, and they let in two, like you said. So imagine starting the game on the power play and playing 53 straight minutes on the man advantage. And then by the time it's over, there are 7 minutes left and you're down 2-0. Like, that is just, I know that's not a perfect analogy, but like, come on, that's what we're seeing. So yeah, this is brutal. I don't remember anything ever happening like this.
No, they're a bad team. Man, do you think Johnny's just sitting in his room going, what am I doing here? You look at Calgary, how good they're doing right now. Stanley Cup contender, Calgary Flames. He wakes up. At least he's in the United States. So I get that. He just checks his watch, looks at the calendar. He's like, I've only been here a month and a half. I am here until 2029. What am I doing? What am I doing here? I don't have any I don't have any players to play with.
Speaking of, Huberdeau is only has 5 points on the year. Not a great start for him either. And again, he's only played 8 games. But yeah, tough start.
Doesn't matter. Kadri's playing fantastic. Kadri's lighting the lamp. That guy's playing well. It doesn't matter. Huberdeau's struggling. Calgary's playing well. Not winning masks over a lot of stuff. And when Huberdeau starts to click, man, the Flames are going to be dangerous. They already are dangerous, but poor Johnny. You know, sometimes the grass is not always greener, Tim, on the other side. Maybe he should have stayed in Calgary. They loved him there. They called him Johnny Hockey for Pete's sake. They loved him in Calgary. Goes to Columbus. You have a little anonymity. Dumpy hockey team. All right. The team that's not dumpy, my former team. Team that many thought was a couple years away. They have the pieces. One of the deepest prospects pools in the NHL. Buffalo Sabres. Their future captain, in my eyes. They gave the captaincy to Kyle Okposa this year. I get it. One of the longest tenured guys. He's the oldest. He has the experience. He's on an expiring contract. Tage Thompson, Tim. 6'7" mountain of a man. You know, I love my captains tall. This guy's got earmarked team captain, Team Canada captain. This guy's going to do it all. He had 6 points 2 nights ago, Tim, when they played the Detroit Red Wings. 3 goals, 3 assists. An amazing game. They're second in the Atlantic. Is this the year? Is this the year? They've toyed with us before. They start off hot. Their first 19 games are 15-2-2. First 10 games are 9-1. Next 62 games are 20-42. Is this the year that the Sabres figure it out? They don't falter in December and January, and they finally make the playoffs, buck the trend. I think it's been how many years since they've made the playoffs? I want to say 15.
I was going to say 07. Yeah.
It's been a long time since they've made the playoffs. Is this the year that the Sabres just finally just have a whole complete season, 82 games?
I hope so. I mean, what a game that was. I watched this one too, and I picked the Sabres, by the way, on BetUS. And yeah, they looked really good. Tate Thompson, 6 points. That's insane. Including the highlight reel goal. I think it was his third goal. Just that back and forth, Deacon left to right. Beautiful. You can see Rasmus Dahlin reacting in the background. Just a great, great start for this team. I do think there's something here. And what's cool is, like, we spend so much time, not just us, but all of the hockey versus, like, the Ducks and the Red Wings and the Senators and all these, like, up-and-coming teams. And the Sabres have leapfrogged everybody. They were further behind, and now they're ahead of those teams in the course of, again, just 10 games. But, yeah, they look really good. The part that makes me nervous, I think, because I think their roster is underrated, especially the chemistry and, like, just the swag that they have right now. The goaltending just still makes me nervous. As good as
Craig Anderson's been. No.
Hey, it's a long season, John. He's 41 years old or something like that. Eric Comrie's not very good. And so, yeah, Anderson 3-0 with incredible stats, 1.66, 946. But what's it going to look like in March? You know what I mean? I don't know. That's the part that just – I think the offense can be there. I think this team will falter, but I think they're better than maybe we thought they were. But the goaltending still, yeah, makes me nervous.
It does. Yeah, I know. I love Craig Anderson. But yeah, if they have one Achilles heel, it's the back end. It's between the pipes. But when you look at this team, you can't help but just realize how their two major trades in the last 4 or 5 years has helped set this franchise up for success. And they've had other big trades. Don't get me wrong. That's why their depth is so good and their prospects are so great. They've gotten rid of Ristolainen. They've gotten rid of Reinhart. They traded Zadorov.
Taylor Hall,
all of these guys, they've gotten a lot of high-end draft picks. They've got a lot of prospects. So all of those picks are still waiting in the wings. But the ones that are making impacts right now are the Ryan O'Reilly trade and the Jack Eichel trade. Ryan O'Reilly, they get Berglund. Didn't really work out. Had some mental issues. I think he played one season where it was just – he wasn't in it. Played 12 games or something. Sobotka, again, didn't work out. Got injured his first game. His second season, never stepped on the ice again. The gem of that trade, Tage Thompson. Massive return. Early results from that trade. Obviously, Ryan O'Reilly goes to St. Louis, wins the Stanley Cup. The next year plays well. St. Louis is a competitive team. All of a sudden, 2, 3, 4 years. That's why it takes a long time to grade a trade. This trade is slowly starting to tip towards the even mark. Ryan O'Reilly still playing well. How bad would St. Louis want a 6'7" stud putting up 6 points a game? I think he had 67 last year in 70 some games. How bad does St. Louis want a guy like that in their roster who's only 23 years old? Like, those guys
are
hard
to come by. Is that right? He's 23?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, how old is he? Maybe I'm speaking
25.
Let's see. 25. Tage Thompson. It's 25. Excuse me, 25. How bad would you want a guy who's 25?
Yeah.
Putting those kind of stats on the board. So it's slowly starting to tip towards the Sabres, you know, side a little bit. And then you go to the Jack Eichel trade. They get Tuck. They get Krebs. They get a first rounder who hasn't played yet, but early returns. He's a small little water bug out there. Plays in first elite league in Sweden. Doing okay. But Tuck, he's been great. Buffalo guy coming home. Played great. I think he had more points than Eichel last year, which wasn't saying much. Eichel didn't play much, but he has played great ever since he's thrown on the Sabre sweater. Krebs, first-round draft pick for the Vegas Golden Knights. Underwhelming, but he's still there. He's playing, what is he, on their third line, fourth line? He's doing okay. He's not getting much ice time. He's playing with Gergesen and Rasmus Absalon. Good for him. I like the Sabres. I like what they're doing. They're not trying to outscore people. They're playing good, solid hockey. Their back end is their strength. Rasmus Dahlin's having a great season. First overall pick, Owen Power's having a great season. Everybody's playing solid hockey. They're years ahead of their rebuild, Tim. Years ahead of their rebuild. Do they go for it? I don't think they do. I think they're smart. I think they just take the experience, and away we go. Don Granato's got him playing well. Kevin Adams, everybody thought he was insane. Oh, you didn't get enough for Eichel. What are we doing here? You're an idiot, Adams. I like the Sabres, Tim. I really, really like them. I think I changed my pick. I said Detroit has the brightest future. I think the Sabres do. Gosh, based on this season, they look really good. And so does Detroit, friend of the show, Mo Sider. But man, the Sabres, they are turning heads. They're in a very competitive Atlantic division, and they look solid. I think they make the playoffs. I do. I think the drought is over. I think they're in. I think Boston's in. Oh, man, who's out? Florida? Tampa? Toronto? I don't know, Tim. All of a sudden, there is going to be a good team missing the playoffs.
Do you like the Sabres to make the playoffs over the Devils?
Yes. Right now, yes, I do. But I do think it'll be like last year where it's just 4-4. There's not a team snaking a wild card from the other division. So I think there'll be four teams from the Metro, four teams from the Atlantic. I think it's Boston, Buffalo. And the next two are up for grabs. It's going to be Montreal, Tampa, Florida. There will be a good team. Like I said, I don't think Tampa makes it. I don't think Tampa makes it. And I think this is their year. The bubble's going to pop for them. All right, what are we doing now?
Let's talk about gambling because I went 3 for 3 on my picks on Monday. I picked the Sabres. That. I picked the Kings on the road. I forget the third team that I picked, but I went 3 for 3. I won a little bit of money. I am feeling good about it. The problem is there are only two games tonight. And so you got the Leafs Flyers is the one that everyone's talking about. The Leafs lost a close game, or the Flyers lost a close game last night. The Leafs desperately need to get back in the W column. This is the game to definitely pay attention to. What are you thinking about tonight?
Well, the Flyers have lost two in a row in overtime. So it's not like they're getting blown out. They're still playing good hockey, and they lost to the Rangers. Rangers are a great team. Shesterkin is a fantastic goalie. Leafs are just a mental case right now. Keefe is expecting to be fired any second now. So he's just panicking. And when you have a coach who's not secure and he's panicking, he will make mistakes. He's going to jumble the lines. Is Willie Nylander still going to be a center for the third line, which is a huge mistake? How is the relationship between him and Marner happening? I don't know. Is he just going to play Marner 30 minutes and say, I'm sorry, Mitch, for sitting you down. It was a mistake. So I'm taking the Flyers. I think I'm taking the Flyers. They're the underdog for some strange reason on BetUS right now. The Flyers are the underdog. I'm taking the Flyers. I'm taking the Sabres, who are also an underdog for some odd reason. I'm taking the Sabres. I'm taking the over for both. because I got burned last week because I took the under, and all of a sudden the Sabres decided to explode for 8 goals, ruined my under call, and then I'm just taking a parlay for all four. I don't care if it's only 2 games. I got 5 bets on the go. I got the Sabres, I got the Flyers, I got the over for both games, and I got the parlay with all four of those wrapped up in the middle. So I'm on a losing streak, and instead of just holding back and taking it easy and just dipping my toe in, I'm going for it all. I want to get all my money back that I lost and get those good feelings going. But you, on the other hand, you got your win, and now you're getting, I'm just going to bet one little one here.
How can you pick the over when the Leafs are struggling and they're playing a Tortorella defense and elite Carter Hart after they just played really tight games against two really good teams? Like, this screams under to me.
Then take the under. Every time I've taken the under, I've lost. That's why. Every time I go under, I just lose. So I'm taking the over. I think the Leafs and Flyers are going to go for 10 goals. It's going to be 6-4 Flyers. Then the other game, I don't know. The Sabres are going to score 12. They've been scoring at will lately. I need to get a win. I need to.
I think the Leafs are going to win tonight. I'm going to pick the Leafs and the under. I think it'll be close, 3-2, 3-1. But, yeah, I think the Leafs will get back in the column. Just enough to take the pressure off them for a few days and just really stretch and lengthen out this torture and torment of a season for them. And so they'll win. I think it would be too convenient for us for them to lose again tonight. It would just be too good of a story. They're not going to give it to us.
No, they're going to lose, and it's going to be great. Keefe's going to scream. He's going to sit down Matthews, and Matthews is going to say, "I'm not resigning." And it's going to be fantastic. Then we're going to have three weeks of stuff to talk about. But yes, get in on the action, everybody. Tim and I are playing. You should play too. So go to BetUS. Sign up today. You get 125% deposit bonus, which means if you deposit $500, you get an extra $750. That's a lot of money. You're making $750 if you sign up today. If you give $100, you get $125. You get what you give, baby. So you're getting 125% deposit bonus on BetUS. I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I didn't know how much I was going to enjoy this BetUS, but it's fun. It really is fun. It makes every game exciting. So check it out, BetUS. All right, what are the quick hits today, Tim?
Well, the big story yesterday was that the Senators are reportedly for sale. The story is broken by Sportico. And so just taking it back to earlier this year, Eugene Melnyk died in March. The family took over the business. It's been basically business as usual, but now they are reportedly selling the team. What I found interesting is that there was a report of all of the team's valuations. And it goes, the Leafs, I think, were the highest, just over $2 billion. And the average for the league is about a billion, 1.01, something like that. The Senators, big Canadian market, was only valued at $655 million, which I thought was really surprising. I would have thought all the Canadian teams would be in the top 10. I don't know that much about the business of hockey, but that definitely surprised me. Does that number surprise you at all?
It's no. Their arena is terrible. So they, as much support that they get, Ottawa is the redheaded stepchild in Canada. The arena is in Canada. Nobody likes going there. So no, it doesn't surprise me. They've been, I don't know if they've sold out consistently for a few years back when like Alfie was still there. So it's just, yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. If you've got the money, is this a good investment, do you think, buying that team?
I don't know the ins and outs of arena. I know they're trying to get an arena built closer to downtown, but I just don't know the logistics of it, the politics behind it. If you could get an owner to get the city to okay an arena closer to Ottawa or even in downtown itself and help the province get the province to pay for some of that, then yeah. Because you look at the other stadiums, arenas around the league, they're right downtown. You look at the valuation of teams like Vancouver and Toronto and Montreal. All those teams have arenas right downtown. It's such a bonus to be able to say, yeah, we're downtown. You don't have to drive anywhere. You get off work, you go to the rink, you grab a dinner, a drink. It's a whole night. It makes it so easy. Public transportation gets you there to and from. So, yeah, I would buy it if I had a spare, $700 million lying around, but that's too bad. Hopefully they don't get any crazy ideas and move them because Ottawa does need the team in Ottawa. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
They were the only original 16 that weren't in the top 10, which is surprising.
And can you say that again?
They're not original six.
Canadian.
They're not. Canadian team. A couple more quick hits here. Injuries. Palat is out with a groin injury, out indefinitely, which is the big thing for the Devils because he's been playing pretty well and a big part of their top six. And by the way, the Devils won again last night. Jesper Bratt has points in all 10 games, which is just bananas. I am all the way on this Jesper Bratt train. Jamie Drysdale, young stud defenseman for Anaheim. He's out for potentially the entire season. And the way their season's going, I would say probably they'll just shut him down, which is too bad. Doesn't have a big impact on the season, but he's a player who's on the come up. And, you know, that's a hit to take. And then you have Mitch Marner. You getting a little heat? A lot of people agree. A lot of people disagree. But you're standing by your statements about what you said about him and Keith yesterday.
Yeah. Where am I getting heat?
Leafs fans. Leafs fans. The typical stuff. You've been punched in the head too many times. Who is he to talk about Marner?
Why is my opinion not worth everybody else's? I don't understand that argument.
I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense. Oh, because I made it to the NHL and I was a fighter. All of a sudden, my opinion isn't valuable. But some Joe Blow who watches hockey for his whole life has a better, I don't know, whatever. If my opinion is not worth it, why am I getting text messages from NHL former players, Stanley Cup winners, all-star caliber players saying, good take, that was funny, but spot on. I wish I could say who because I don't want to get them in hot water. They're still involved in hockey. Why am I getting those types of comments? Guys in the league text me, say, hey, I like that take. That's good. Nailed it. Yeah. Why, Tim? I told you
right.
Who it was. You want to out, but I don't want to because then he'll get some slack. But, yeah, it was a perfectly fine thing to say. Marner was a baby. He's got to, sack up. And then I saw one guy, well, what if he would have scored in overtime? Cares. He's still a baby. He's a talented hockey player. I'm not taking away from his talent. He's got to change his mindset. Got to grow up, Peter Pan. You know? Let's go.
The best part of the video was you big, stupid baby.
Well, I don't want to swear. I have taken all cuss words out of my vocabulary. It's just it's not necessary. And I was just struggling with something to say. You big, stupid baby. All right. What else? Let's get out of here before we wrap up.
Yeah. You offered me a trade in fantasy hockey this morning. Would you like to read it out to the listeners? Would you tell them what it was?
I forgot what it was.
You already forgot. Okay,
you said you wanted a defenseman.
I need defenseman. Yep. I need a defenseman.
Yeah. I'm solving that problem.
Shea Theodore and Noah Dobson.
Great.
For David Pastrnak.
2-for-1. I'm giving you two defensemen. You said you want defensemen. I don't know what else you want me to do. I'll give you Torrey Crew.
No, thank you. But thank you.
You put Pasta on my team. I am unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Yeah, well, yeah. You have a good team. Jason Robertson. Yeah. Why is we still not talking about him? He's so good. He's so good.
He's got 13 points, 5 goals, 8 assists, 10 games. The guy's unbelievable. He's very good. But yeah, give me him. I'll give you a defenseman.
I want him.
You a defenseman and Brian Rust.
And McDavid. I'll give you a Pasta and someone for McDavid.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk.
Let's talk off air. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate all the support. Go give us a nice little like or a comment. And where do we get these podcasts? Apple? Yeah.
Everywhere.
Whatever. Don't even do it. Just enjoy the show. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
The world is our home. So make yourself comfortable wherever you are with Voco Hotels. Feel at home from the moment you arrive, leaving you to unwind your way. Not only do our attentive hosts look after you, but they also look out for the planet too. Like at Voco St. David's Cardiff, where our guests can hire electric bikes to explore the Welsh capital in a fun and green way. Come on in. Search Voco Hotels today.
Yes, what's happening, team? It's Si Ferry here from Open Goal, and I'm delighted to tell you that this week's podcast is brought to you by John Lewis. It's a huge time coming up for football, and you need to make sure you make the most of it by sorting yourself out with a telly from John Lewis's tremendous range of Sunny TVs. Packed full of the latest technology to help you get that stadium experience in your living room this football season. The Acoustic Surface Audio Plus is a unique Sony technology which makes the sound come from the screen. The sound literally follows the action around the screen as well, meaning your pictures and sound are in total harmony. Great for sports, gaming and movies. Feel like you're there with a Sony Bravia 4K OLED TVs. Shop Sony TVs at John Lewis, in-store, online or via the app. And don't forget, it's a 5-year guarantee on all TVs.